Welcome back to the Midday Show. And my guest here today, I'm very excited, is Ira Robbins. And by way of disclaimer, Ira and I go back many years and have a shared history, which I'll just say goes to a very specific type of summer camp that we both attended, albeit in different time frames. So we went to this summer camp back in the 60s and 70s, and we're able to reconnect through the diaspora that is our community of folks from that camp. And in that time, your name kept coming up because of Trouser Press. I was in the music industry, and there were people there who were big fans of what you were doing. The latest release of this collection, Zip It Up 2, play on words, is a new collection of the best of Trouser Press magazine, which existed from 74 to 84. Welcome, Ira.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to see you,
Same here. Thanks for coming on. So, where do we begin, Ira? First, give
Adam.
the listeners who may not be so familiar with Trouser Press a little bit of the origin story.
Sure. In 1974, actually 1973, I was an engineering student in Brooklyn in college, at Brooklyn Poly. And my best friend and I from high school were big Who fans and big rock fans. And we both kind of had this ambition to write about rock and roll. It was kind of a Cream magazine, Circus, Zoo World, Phonograph Records, Bomp. Those kind of magazines were around, and we were really turned on by them, as well as the British weeklies, Melody Maker, NME. And all through high school, we were like, just would talk about rock and roll. That's all we talked about. And so at the end of 73, we just happened to meet a woman at a record hop sort of thing in Yonkers who had been the editor of the Brooklyn College newspaper. Her name was Karen Rose. And the three of us just got talking on the subway ride back from Yonkers and somehow came up with the idea of starting a magazine together. And it was about as ambitious as, opening a lemonade stand on the corner. We thought, well, we'll write a couple of articles, we'll run them off on my dad's mimeograph machine. And my first girlfriend was a student at art and design, so she could lay it out. And we thought, well, we'll just print up, a couple hundred copies and see what happens. We'll take them to a We'll put a story on the cover that connects with a gig that's happening in New York. And that happened to be, well, it was the Who, but it wasn't, yeah. I mean, there were a couple of other bands that were playing at the Academy of Music. We ended up March 8th or 9th, I think, of 1974 on 14th Street in front of the Academy of Music, which later became the Palladium, is now NYU dorm, selling
Right.
Trouser Press. Selling the first issue of Trouser Press for a quarter, out of shopping bags. And 10 years later, Trouser Press ended, a monthly magazine with a circulation of about 60,000. And Rolling Stone ran our obituary on its facing last page, which they always reserved for obituaries in those days. And it was called Voice of Pop Rock of the Pop Rock Underground Folds After 10 Years. And that was Trouser Press. And after that, there were five record guides that we published through various publishers, and then a website. And the last couple of years, I've done Trouser Press books. And so we started publishing books. We've published 25 books so far, music books mostly. And we've done two volumes of the best of Trouser Press, basically, which are both called Zip It Up. And just went back and picked out some of the best articles from the magazine and collected them up and laid them out in a kind of a format that's sort of magazine book hybrid. And that's what's out there. And the new one comes out in a week or two, and that's why we're talking.
Well, I hope because we go back as well and we are such close friends. But the release of this book is good enough. And how do people get a copy of the new book?
Should be in some
Just
bookstores. It's available through the
beautiful.
Through Amazon, Barnes and Noble, bookshop.org, trouserpressbooks.com. It's a real book. We have real distribution.
No doubt. I mean, you guys, it's very ambitious and amazing how much you've done since it's been over 40 years since Trouser Press folded well, at least the magazine, but the brand continues.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of it had a life of its own. I mean, the thing that I've
Yeah.
always said to people is that we never knew that we had much of an impact until well after the magazine ended. I mean, when we were doing it, we had a little office. There were like five or six people that worked on it. We'd open the mail every day and we'd get a couple of subscription orders and some back orders, and we'd have, $40 to deposit in the bank or $60 or whatever. And then the printing bill would come in for like $11,000, and we'd be like scrambling how to pay that. And it kind of like, we get letters to the editor going like, that article, that review of the Ramones album is the stupidest piece of shit I've ever read, or you should get some real writers, or blah, blah, blah. And so, it didn't feel like an impact. It felt like we were kind of like, a flea on a horse's tail. We were kind of like, we were there. People kind of were aware that we existed. I mean, we functioned in the real world. We got advertising from record companies and stuff. We did real interviews with major artists, but it didn't feel like we had a big impact of any sort. We didn't really know who was out there. And then after the magazine ended, it just kind of like, partly through the books, because there was a whole generation that found the books that didn't know the magazine. I still get people going like, "Oh, I love Trouser Press," especially the third
Right.
edition. And it's like, well, no, it was a magazine before it was a book. And so, it took on a life of its own, and we sort of started. I started like hearing from people all the time, especially when social media began. Oh, Trouser Press was like the biggest thing in my life. I grew up in. In Pawtucket, and there's one store that carried it. We would buy it every month and find out what records we should buy and stuff. And it just kind of took on a life of its own. And then people started calling Trouser Press the Bible of alternative rock, which we certainly never called ourselves at the time. And it just kind of added up to a way that felt like we were a lot more important in people's memories, at least, than we knew at the time. And then the other funny thing that happened was that people started referring to like quote unquote Trouser Press bands, like as if we had like defined a genre, which we hadn't. I mean, we did a lot of new wave and a lot of indie rock coverage, but I mean, we just had our own aesthetic that we liked and didn't like, and we were very upfront about saying what we liked and what we didn't like. And so the magazine had its personality, and I think people intuited that and have stuck with it for years. And on there's a message board on the trouserpress.com website, and people constantly saying, "Oh, I'm surprised that this band isn't in the record guide," because they seem like a Trouser Press band.
Well, could you imagine as a kid back there in the early 70s that 50 years later you would be this guy still publishing Trouser Press?
No, I mean, when we started the magazine, we decided we would do one issue, and if it did okay, we would think about doing a second. I mean, that was the extent of our career planning. I went on a first date once with a fellow journalist when I was working at a newspaper, and I really liked her, and we seemed to be getting along. And somewhere in the middle of the date, we went to see Tom Jones. That was fun. And somewhere in the middle of the date, she said, "Where do you see yourself in 5 years?" I mean, I was already in my 30s. And I'm like, actually, I was pretty close to 40. And I'm like, 5 years? How the hell should I know? And that was the end of the date, the end of the relationship. I haven't spoken to her since. So she's very nice. Certainly I'm not faulting her for that, but that just wasn't the way I ever looked at my life.
I understand. Right. So I suppose it's just a kind of miraculous that this particular thing, which started off as sort of a fledgling magazine by the seat of your pants, would basically not define your entire life, but be
Yeah,
kind of
define my
the
entire life. Yeah, pretty
okay,
much.
that's safe to say.
Yeah,
There's
yeah.
another
No,
book you oh, go ahead, by all.
no, no. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask about Tony Fletcher is a mutual friend of ours, and so what, you're publishing a new book of his, or
Yes.
you okay.
Yes, we are. He had a memoir about, I guess, about 8 or 9 years ago called Boy About Town. Because Tony had a fascinating career in England before he was like even 20. Like a lot of us, he started young and just did whatever felt like fun to do, but he did a lot more of it than the rest of us. And so by the time he was 20, he had a magazine, he had a record label with Paul Weller, he had, a band, he was playing gigs, he had, all this stuff going on. And so his first memoir, and he was interviewing bands all over the place, including at one point in the book that we're publishing, which is a second memoir, Paul McCartney. So he did a lot of interesting things in his first memoir, even though it was a full-length book. Only took him up to like a certain point in his story, and he had plenty more to tell. And so we're doing his book coming out in a couple of weeks, and he's doing a lot of events around it, and he's going to England in September to do a tour. So yeah, it's been fun working with him. I mean, I knew Tony back in the day when he first moved to New York, just as a mutual acquaintance introduced us as like, oh, he's a fellow journalist, and he seemed like a cool guy. We haven't, we've stayed in touch a little bit. We've talked over the years about projects. Never really got to do anything together. And so this is the first time. It's been a lot of fun because he's a very smart, dedicated, and organized fellow, and I appreciate all of those things.
I bet. You mentioned it before, real briefly, but how do people get in touch or find out more about Trouser Press?
We have a website, trouserpressbooks.com. There's also a trouserpress.com website, which is not about the books specifically. Yeah, I mean, all the information you'll need is there. It describes all the books. It has ordering information. It has email addresses and things. So join up. I mean, join us and come and talk. You know, we're publishing 5 books in the next 6 weeks. We've been
It's
working on them
really,
for a
it's
year. So it's
incredible. Ira, thank you for coming on the Midday Show.
Oh, Adam, it's such a pleasure.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. And holler the next time you're in town.
Oh, for sure. You get to choose, putting you on the spot here, but you get to choose the next song we play here. So
Okay, how about Let's See Action by The Who?
you got it. TrouserPressMagazine.com, was it? Books.
Trouserpressbooks.com
I'm sorry,
and
TrouserPressBooks.com.
trouserpress.com, both.
Okay. All right.
Type
98.1.
trouser press. You'll type trouser press
Yeah, I mean, what
into
is this? By
Chrome,
the
you'll
time you
find
get,
us.
yeah, by the time you get through the word trouser, the website will have come up already. So,
All right, mate. See
all
you
righty.
later.
You got it. 98.1 KZE.